another episodic podcasting adventure. It's Dockamania.
Gentlemen, welcome to another episodic adventure. It's Dockamania. I'm your co-host Dez, here with the new United States champion J-Bomb. Say hello, J-Bomb.
I'm the United States champion. Are you sure?
Yeah, man.
You're
not the United States champion. Everybody is, so why not? I just decided now you are the United States champion.
That's the worst title of them all. But I'll take it.
Definitely the worst title lately. We'll get into that a little bit later, but US title. What's up with that?
What's up with that?
How's it going, my friend?
Not too bad, man. It's friggin' cold still, dude. Every day is freezing. I'm gonna,
cold snap in the U.S. and Canada. I had a lot of friends in the U.S. posting kind of the temperature in their area, and they're all like, oh my God, how you do that? And I'm just like, I'm keeping my mouth shut because that can kind of be a regular here sometimes during the winter. But I'm telling you, man, it's even colder for us right now. Like, I walked home, I was telling J-Bomb, I actually had to wait to do this recording because just walking from the bus to my house, and I was jogging a little bit, and just my lungs got frozen. I was just coughing a bunch when I came home. So, guys, hope you're staying warm, keep your pets warm and all
spayed
that
and
shit.
Neutered?
Yeah, whatever, man.
Super Bowl weekend.
I don't see anything surviving out there, man. It's pretty bad.
Super Bowl weekend, though. That's
Super Bowl weekend, and we get the halftime Heat NXT match as well,
yeah,
too. Directly competing with Maroon 5. Yeah, they took that part out of the... They took it out, eh?
They dissed the shit out of them.
Well, yeah. You're like, do you want to listen to Maroon 5?
Yeah.
Screw that. Watch NXT. But now, the commercial, they changed it, and there's no more Maroon 5 dissing.
I wonder if they got in trouble.
Oh, I'm sure they did. But who cares, man?
Who cares?
About Maroon 5, that is, right? So we had a fun weekend, guys. We did our first live show on Full Press Radio. And you know what? It went so well, we might be doing it again for the Elimination Chamber.
Oh, we are. We are doing it for Elimination Chamber.
Believe that. Yep. But yeah, it was a lot of fun, guys. I hope you tuned in. We're going to continue to do these things and see how it goes. Maybe take some live callers next time, or we'll see how things progress. But it was a lot of fun. You know, we were there for our prediction show. You guys can check it out. Check out on our social media page at _Tockamania. You can follow us there. You can listen to our podcast on Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, all kinds of places. Look for us. We are there. And make sure to check us out, thechairshot.com, fullpresscoverage.com, thedailysmark.com, blogtalkradio.com, and now bodyslam.net.
And as always, check out our partners, World Wrestling Manager. Download their app. Ooh, follow them on Twitter, at WWManagerGame. Like Dez mentioned, Full Press Coverage. We're going to be doing another live show February 17th at 5:30 p.m. Eastern for the Elimination Chamber kickoff show. And a little shout-out to our friends over at Boot to the Face podcast. If you want to follow them on Twitter, that's at Boot. Two, like the number, the face, and they'll be sporting some Tockamania merch WrestleMania weekend because we whipped their ass at predictions.
Hells yeah. Had a lot of fun playing with those gentlemen. They took their whooping and like a man. Rutgers likes basically saying that we were like Asuka and made them tap out. So I like that. You know how much I liked Asuka, so I appreciated that reference. But he's got some great guys. So check it out. We did a run-in on their podcast last week as well, too, which was a lot of fun. So we hope to be doing more stuff with these guys. We're talking about potentially doing maybe a WrestleMania rematch, so we'll keep you in the loop for that.
Yeah, we also got challenged to make it a three-way by the guys at Irish Rip Podcast. So that should be interesting. And if you want to pick up some merch of your own, prowrestlingtees.com/Tockamania. And yeah, we're stretching it into February, 25% off all merch across the site. Well, not the entire site, but our stuff. And if you're a video game fan, check us out on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/Tockamaniacs.
I had a lot of fun at the Rumble, man.
Yeah, that was the first time in a while that I was so engulfed in WWE being so good for an entire weekend. NXT TakeOver, Royal Rumble, Raw was great, SmackDown was good. just, it's been a while, man. It's been a while.
It has been a while. It has been a while. And I think you were mentioning how, like, it was one of your favorite pay-per-views since Evolution.
Yeah, absolutely. Best pay-per-view since Evolution.
Yeah, it was cool. It had a different feel. The setup was nice. I liked that they came out from the dugout.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. You know, it's funny, though, when Lana came out with the injured leg, like, you're telling me that she walked up that dugout and then walked at her pace down the aisle.
That was the slowest walkout ever. Like, sweetheart, come on. Come on.
Turn it down a little bit.
Like, dial it down. But yeah, no, it had like a large pay-per-view feel.
It did. And it was really exciting. I was invested in most matches, I guess you could say. We didn't see any, I guess, major title changes. We did see the U.S. title, although that's kind of been these days. We'll get to it on SmackDown, too. It really doesn't make sense what they're doing with this thing. I thought, okay, with Nakamura winning it back, maybe they were on track to do something good. So I went back, actually, on Monday and rewatched the Royal Rumble. The match itself wasn't that bad, I guess you could say, with Nakamura and Rusev. I thought it was pretty good,
oh,
too.
Oh, sorry. Rusev, Nakamura. Sorry, I thought you meant the actual Rumble.
Well, the Rumble, man. Yeah. We'll get there. Yeah. But I'm not saying it was the best match, but it was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. And yeah, since we were doing the live recording, we also missed the Cruiserweight match, which I absolutely loved, guys. If you didn't watch it, you know, I'm always an advocate for 205 Live. But these guys stole the show. You would have thought with four guys in the ring at once, it would have been chaotic. It was chaotic. But these guys hit spot after spot after spot. It was a highlight reel type of match. And these guys delivered. It was all over the place. And it was Hideo Itami's, well, not his last match. His last pay-per-view match, I guess, at least. So
in WWE. Is he done? Is he like, I know
he's
was done. Released.
Yeah, he's out? Was released. As far as I know, he is. You know, that's what it is. Hope the guy goes and does well. He'll probably sign with AEW or run on the indie scene for a while. Maybe New Japan Pro Wrestling. But, you know, they brought him in. They hyped him up a lot. They misused the guy. And he got injured a bunch. So it's a bit unfortunate how it played out for him. A lot of the superstars in the WWE are showing their support for him. You know, saying how much they respect him. And, you know, we wish him the best in his future endeavors.
The actual Royal Rumble match, though, this year. The men's Royal Rumble. People were complaining, oh, there was no legends. Oh, there was no huge surprises. I don't get it, man. Like, you're looking at wrestling on Twitter, and you see these people complaining all the time that legends are taking up spots for wrestlers, blah, 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 get over the past. And then we get a Royal Rumble where they really focused on the present and the future. It was NXT call-ups or guys currently on the main roster. And people are even complaining about that. It's frustrating, man.
I like the fact that they didn't focus so much on the legends of the past.
For sure.
We had Kurt Angle in there. Look, he went out, I think, second, like almost immediately.
But he's still quite current.
Oh, I don't know, man. You see him wrestle? He looks like
No, but I mean, he's on Raw. He was just a general manager. It's not like they brought in The Rock.
The sad sack, man.
No, but they didn't bring
him wrestle,
The Rock or Batista or anything like that. That's what I meant, you know?
About a week ago or so, I watched WrestleMania 21. It was Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle, and the match was so good. And I watched it with my wife, and she absolutely was invested. She thought it was a superb match. And Angle's intensity, the way he moved, he was so fast, and now he's so worn out and broken down. He's slow. You know when you have an old dog, and he starts to get cataracts, his eyes start going a bit blue, and you're like, oh man, it's going to be time soon. Like, I just...
Put him down.
I don't know, man. It's... You know, and then he goes out there and he loses again this week. So they really haven't done him any favors since returning. And I mean, I guess he hasn't really done himself any favors. He hasn't looked too good. But, you know, I guess at some point in time, you just have to hang up the boots. And maybe that's the case. But, you know, I don't think we needed that many legends. I think bringing back people from the NXT, that was cool. It shows you the future and, you know, what's going to be the WWE in the coming days or the coming ages. I like that a lot, too. We had a lot of surprise entrances.
Especially the Women's Rumble.
The Women's Rumble. I love the Women's Rumble. Surpassed the men's, in my opinion. I was writing down notes for both of them, and just it was intense just how many notes that I had for the women's and how many... Remember, we were watching, and then we were so burnt out by the end of it. Like, we were so spent with our energy. I think AJ and Daniel Bryan had possibly... I think they followed up afterwards.
Yeah,
it was
horrible.
It just fell flat, but... It was pretty exciting. I liked the women's match. We got a lot of stories out of it. And again... I remember that the Battle Royale Evolution where they actually managed to tell a story in the Battle Royale. And I found they managed to do that a lot here. You know, we got, Lacey Evans and Charlotte Flair too. It was really cool to kind of see them face off one-on-one. I think they had good chemistry. They looked a lot alike. I think people were throwing out that Spider-Man meme where they're pointing at each other.
Mandy Rose and Naomi told a good story too.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good too. Yeah, they're continuing that on and really kind of milking it. But at the same time, I liked it, you know. Naomi managed to stay in the ring. You know, she almost fell on the barrier. It would have been pretty funny if she did. Actually, I guess not. But it would have been interesting to see what they would have done. But then Mandy eliminates her. So they're going to continue with
that. It was perfectly done.
I thought it was done really well as well too. Yeah. The Iconics was funny too. You had... Billie Kay come out and she didn't want to go in until Peyton Royce came out, so she was playing her kind of role. You know, Selena Vega came out dressed like Vega from Street Fighter, which was pretty cool. I thought that was pretty badass. She's hiding under the ring. They have Hornswoggle come out, Candice LeRae, you know, Maria Kanellis. I thought she was out of place when she came in there. She's out of her element. I'm not a biggest fan, but it was kind of cool to see her come out at the same time.
Yeah.
And Casey Catanzaro, the American Ninja, was there as well too, and I liked the way that she stayed in the ring.
Yeah, it was dope.
How she ended up like going on the post and climbing up it like that. I thought that was really cool. And if you watch, I guess the video of all these ladies finding out that they were going to be in the NXT it was pretty cool. And Casey was really excited as well too, and so was Ricochet. If you saw, because you know they're a couple, those two.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. So like, he was really emotional for her, and there's this video online of them embracing, and Ripley kind of just photobombs them and is like,
"Fuck, I love Rhea Ripley, man."
Yeah, I do too. I thought she was great. She's a beast.
Her elimination was brutal.
Yeah, she could have blown her knees out.
Yeah,
and even Kairi Sane, like, she could have broke her face. But it was great to see Kairi there. Yoshirai, I liked seeing those two in it. I saw this person tweet, and they're like. No legends, you know, no people from the past, no Trish, no Lita. They were like, Lacey, waste of an entry. Kairi, waste of an entry. Io, waste of an entry. Candice LeRae, waste of an entry.
Go kill yourself.
Casey, waste of an entry. It's like, dude, you watched NXT? Clearly not, because this is the future.
So,
You're fired!
Fuck that person.
And even up until the ending, I thought the way, you know, that Becky came in was done really well. Yep. You know, I think Lana hobbling around a little bit, okay, you know, a little bit too much. But her coming out there and saying, look, the crowd want this, put me in there. And, you know, Fit Finley, the Irish son of a gun himself, putting her in this match. And then, you know, just the story that played out, them getting Nia Jax out the way they did, Nia Jax hurting her knee, and then her playing that knee really well. Like, she did a really good job at looking like she was injured, going in the ring and saying, fight me, I'm good to go, just fight me. And it's just like, I don't know, like the intensity and the passion. And
the celebration was good too.
Yeah,
it was like 4 or 5 minutes long, which was nice.
Women's Rumble was great. I like it. It just had me, man. We were so spent by the end.
And then to have Nia show up in the Men's Rumble on top of it all, just, I loved it, man. To have that continuation, the moment, like, it's the women's year, man. And to tease that intergender wrestling, the RKO, it was such a electrical night, man. I really enjoyed
I think it was extra special because, like, we don't have intergender wrestling. We don't know what this means either because, well, what's this? It's a one-time thing only. Why did they decide to do it? Because you have R-Truth, right? He's coming in 30. We're like, okay, well, whatever, it's R-Truth. You know, we knew it's just kind of he's going to go in. He's going to stay in for a minute or two and go out. But then Nia Jax comes out, and I remember I was there with you, and my reaction is like, what? What is this? Are you kidding me? What? No. Is she going down to the Rumble? What? Then she gets in, and I'm like, whoa, she's hitting the guys, and then all of a sudden, she gets super kicked, and I'm just like, what? And then 619, oh my God, and you see Randy Orton, I'm like, okay, if she gets RKO, this is all worth it. And then she gets hit with it. The crowd popped. I thought it was good, man. And honestly, it made me like Nia Jax a lot more. I'll tell you that much.
You know what? Coming out of the Rumble, there were some major winners. The obvious, Seth Rollins, Becky Lynch. But I think Nia Jax walked out of Rumble like 10 steps higher than she was going into Rumble.
Well, ever since that punch to Becky's face, they've really been pushing her as this, I guess, monster. And the fact that she went in there, mixed it up with the men, I thought it was fantastic. There's a lot of people who are claiming... Man, I saw some people online complaining domestic violence. It's like, are you kidding me?
Relax.
It's like, dude, like, what about, like, when you watch Marvel movies and, like, Thanos, like, you know, slams, you know, Superwoman or whatever. Sorry, that's DC and Marvel. Sorry, guys, you're going to break my legs. But, you know, they there's women and men, they fight. You got WWE, it's kind of a fantasy comic, you know, soap opera kind of thing.
And yeah, for sure.
I think it was done tastefully in the right way. You're not going to have them go in there and do it to Liv Morgan, you know, and you have to do it.
It's not like Jimmy's smacking Naomi backstage.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not like Hunter's like, yo, listen, bitch, smack. Rusev, Lana, shut up, bitch, smack. That would be next level. This is consenting adults in a fantasy match. I mean, come on.
Well, it's funny because people, it's the same people that are complaining when Mandy Rose was in the hotel room in the lingerie, which looked exactly like her ring gear. And they were like, oh, look at her standing in her underwear. It's like, dude, she's dressed exactly in her ring gear.
Yeah, I never understood the difference between a bikini and underwear. Like,
and then that week where they were showing Alexa Bliss's back and they walked in on her, I thought it was kind of an odd placement and it was kind of stupid. But at the same time, who cares, man? Are you complaining when her butt's hanging out of her tights? When you see a little bit of her back, you're going to like, I don't understand. So grow up, get over it, man. You know, turn it off.
And
what does this mean now going forward? Are they just testing the waters? We saw Nia Jax kind of, shove Dean Ambrose this week. So what are they testing the waters? What are they going to do? What does this mean for intergender wrestling? A lot of wrestlers kind of jumped on social media and said, like, Ember Moon is like, okay, well, now I want Rey Mysterio. Other people were challenging people. So I don't know what this means, but it's exciting. I really liked it. And it's been a long time since we've seen this. You know, we had the intergender wrestling, the mixed match challenge. They couldn't lay a hand on each other. Does this mean it'll be different going down the line? I don't know. But it was fresh. I liked it. It literally made me get out of my seat when Nia got RKO'd. I was ecstatic. And I liked it a lot, man.
There's tons of questions coming out of Royal Rumble. I mean, even Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler comes in. He was a bit of a surprise entrance for me. Everybody was talking he's going to take time off. Maybe he's AEW bound. He's not happy. Boom, music hits, comes in the ring, and eliminates Drew McIntyre. You got to think, I thought WrestleMania, but I hope not. I don't want to see them in WrestleMania. I'm thinking it's got to come to a point in Elimination Chamber.
It's very confusing. There's a lot of things going on with the roster and people who are happy, unhappy. You know, if you've been living under a rock, you obviously know that. You know, we know about the Canellis duo. We know about Hideo Itami. You know, there's been many people who are unhappy with their current standing in the company. Dolph Ziggler, you know, who knows? The guy's also doing a lot of projects. He's a stand-up comedian. He does all kinds of shows and stuff. So, like, WWE's letting him do his thing. And they can kind of have him come and go as he needs. Maybe that's the perfect schedule for him. And he's not unhappy.
Yep.
You know, we don't know. Dolph Ziggler's a pretty humble guy. He did sign a new contract with the WWE. You know, he wouldn't have done so necessarily if he was that unhappy. And he's actually had a lot more success since he signed that contract. Dude, the guy was the IC champion. He was running with Drew McIntyre for a while. Him and Drew and Braun were like at the forefront of Raw for like several months.
Yeah, too long, actually.
Exactly. We've talked about that. And we know that you weren't as happy about that. I liked it. But they were my tag team of the year, Drew and Ziggler. I like those two together. So I don't know. But I didn't expect him to be at the Rumble. So when he was there, I was a bit excited. And the fact that he got Drew McIntyre out raises a lot of questions because Drew McIntyre was potentially the favorite to win. And then during the Rumble, well, he didn't even go to Final Four. He was like Final Six or something like that, or Seven. Like maybe even like he got out a lot earlier than I thought he was.
Yeah, exactly.
And he got eliminated by Ziggler. So what does that mean now? Are they going to feud? But then Ziggler wasn't on Raw this week. So it's not exactly certain where they're going to be headed here. We'll find out soon.
Was McIntyre on Raw?
McIntyre was on Raw, and he took on Braun Strowman.
Oh, yeah.
And then Corbin came out yet again. So maybe Ziggler will be back next week to team up with Braun Strowman, and maybe they'll have a tag team match at Elimination Chamber. Who knows?
Elimination Chamber is kind of a pain in my ass. It's the timing of that pay-per-view is not good. Rumble ends, and you think, okay, these are all the stories going to WrestleMania, and then they have to get over this hump that's Elimination Chamber.
But what are the stories going to WrestleMania? That's a big question. It's like we have Becky and Ronda and potentially Charlotte, and we have Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar. Well, what else? I mean, I guess The Miz and Shane are going to end up feuding. But what are the other roads? What are the other roads to WrestleMania for any other competitor? Like, it's kind of, I don't really see a lot of the dots in place yet. So they have two pay-per-views. They have Elimination Chamber and Fastlane to get all this shit on track.
They kind of planted the scene of Finn Balor going towards IC.
Yeah, yeah. But does that mean he'll win it? I mean, I have to think they're going to let him win it after how much they've been pushing him lately. You know, he had a great match with Brock Lesnar, guys. And if you guys want to rip on the WWE for the booking of Finn Balor in that match, dude, the reason why Finn Balor was put in that match, there was never any intent to take the title off of Brock Lesnar. Balor was not going to win it. And I think the fact that he got that match, had the showing he did, and dude, Brock sold the shit during the match for him.
Yeah.
Like, you genuinely thought Balor was going to get this done. And then when he hits coup de grace, he puts him in the Kimura lock, taps out. I don't know. I thought it was a pretty good match.
I thought it was a good match, too.
It was short, but it didn't need to be much longer. I thought it was a great match. And I don't think he's going to walk out of it being a loser. I think he looked good, and he should hold his head up high.
We talked about the big winners, and I do have him on my list of big losers. Not because his match wasn't good. Not because he didn't look great at Rumble. But for him to immediately be pulled from the main event picture the next night on Raw, I feel like he's got to be on that list of losers from Royal Rumble. I have Asuka on that list as well, just because... Yeah. Well, she's SmackDown Women's Champion, and she has no part in the big story going forward. I think that sucks for her. And then I put Sasha Banks on that list as well, because even though she had a pretty high-profile match against Ronda Rousey, she wasn't anywhere to be found on Raw, and that story's dead, and it's right to Becky. So those are my three losers from the Rumble. Not that they didn't have good showings. You mentioned it. Asuka Becky was a sweet match. Sasha Banks, Ronda, I rewatched it. It's pretty good.
It was okay. I thought there was... it wasn't the cleanest match.
No.
There was one point, too, where she hit the backstabber on Ronda Rousey, and she didn't even sell it. And then there was also
Ronda
a point where
shook.
She got...
Ronda seemed shook.
Well, on Raw, it was a different story, which we'll get to.
Oh, God.
But yeah, and then there's one point also where Sasha put her in like this arm bar, where like pulled her arm behind her, and it looked like her arm came out of the socket. I don't know if it was double jointed or what it was, but it looked really nasty.
It did.
I thought the match was okay. It was all right. It wasn't the cleanest match, but I thought it was decent.
Pinfall win. Pinfall win. Ronda's first.
Pin. Yeah. Oh, is that her first match?
Yeah, it's her first pinfall win, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. But the Becky Asuka match, and yeah, I'm a little bit biased. I like Asuka. I really like this match. Maybe my top two of the night. I think the story they told was good. These two had really good chemistry with one another.
Big time.
You know, the things that they're doing in the ring, you know, the way that they would scream on certain moves, and then the way that Asuka went for that hip attack into the ropes and got tangled. And then when Becky's, you know, bitching at the ref, Asuka just grabs her from behind. The way she's kind of out of it, she's like, and then all of a sudden, she grabs and locks her in it. I thought that was really good. And then the exchange of moves towards the end, resulting in the Asuka lock and then the bridge, which was nasty.
The bridge was nasty. The clean tap, you must have been happy about the clean tap.
I was super happy about the clean tap. I think it made Asuka look good. I think she needed a clean win like this to be kind of be put in the right track, to be a dominant force once again. Yes, but I feel like very upset that she didn't appear on SmackDown this week. She made the man tap out. That's huge. Yep. Like, why are they forgetting about this? However, I guess they're maybe kind of waiting a week because they don't want us to, I guess, take some of the steam or wind out of Becky's sails.
That's why I feel like even though
but
they had great showings.
She's a SmackDown champion. Should be there.
Even though they all three of those guys, Sasha Banks, Asuka, Finn Balor, great showings at the Rumble. And then, okay, guys, go home. Thank you. Thank you. Let's progress with the story.
She was on the dark match of SmackDown against Charlotte. So they put her in a dark match. Yeah. It's a super juicy dark match. She made Charlotte tap out. So she's picking up wins against Charlotte, but, you know, not on TV. So they're kind of meaningless.
Doesn't count.
Doesn't count. I'll give you that. I'm still waiting for that. But yeah, I mean, what's going on with her? They could have at least had her in a backstage segment with the title, with an interview or something. Because she even publicized it on her Twitter, like tonight, Asuka on SmackDown. I think WWE even did. So I feel like, in general, it looks like they ran out of a lot of time this week on SmackDown and Raw. So maybe they couldn't fit her in. But if you have Mandy and
Sonya
backstage who are announcing they're bypassing the qualifications for the tag team tournament.
But it's, well, Mandy Rose.
You could have had them wrestle next week to qualify and then just put Asuka in some backstage segment. So I have to think it's like, yeah, she beat Becky, great accolade, but let's just not talk about it tomorrow because tomorrow is the man's night. So, okay, fair enough. But
where does she go now?
SmackDown champion. Where does Asuka go?
Yeah. Who's she fight at Elimination Chamber? Will the SmackDown women's title be defended at Elimination Chamber? That's why this pay-per-view shouldn't exist. It's in the wrong place. It's in the wrong place. Elimination match is sweet. Not right after Royal Rumble.
Hold on. It doesn't even intrigue me.
No, it doesn't.
We're going to get to that as well, too, but it's just the pay-per-view itself isn't stacking up too well. But I'm curious to think, where is Asuka going to go from here? Is she going to have a match with Naomi? That could be good, because those two have a history. They like each other. They're friends.
Naomi's tangled up with Mandy. Challenge.
That's true as well, too. So you got to kind of think of who and where and what and why. Dream match, I'd love to see. Again, I said it, Asuka, Io, Kairi.
Oh, fuck.
And that would be a great match to see as well, too. But
you know what I want to see, actually? Io and Kairi in the Elimination Chamber as a tag team competing.
Oh, wow. Wouldn't that be phenomenal?
Yeah. Think of the possibilities there. The insane elbow off the chamber.
The Sky Pirates.
The Butt Pirates. Oh, Sky Pirates.
Sky Pirates. That's their name. They have been tagging together, and they tag it together actually tonight on NXT. They actually will beat the two other horsewomen. I was worried that they were going to lose. By the time people listen to this, it's over.
That's true.
But I was worried that they were going to lose against them, but I think WWE sees something special in these two.
Fucking
Their tag team finisher is kind of cool. Kairi throws up... Io throws up Kairi in the air, and she does an elbow drop. And dope. Then Kairi throws up Io to the moonsault. It looked pretty good.
That's so dope. They're great together.
They are.
I love them both. Let's talk about NXT then, because NXT TakeOver, I think this is the first time in a really long time that a TakeOver didn't overshadow Royal Rumble. I wouldn't say Royal Rumble overshadowed NXT either, but I feel like they gave him a run for their money this month.
They did. I mean, we also got Gargano, Aleister Black,
who else was in there?
Out here.
No EC3, in the Rumble?
No EC3. Oh, my God. You're right. No EC3. What is up? What's up with that?
What's up with that? I don't know.
No,
I don't know.
But seriously, I didn't even think about that until now.
Well, he's a forgettable guy. I think we're going to ban EC3 eventually on the show. I have a feeling he's going to be a guy that we're going to ban.
What about Rowan?
Rowan? I don't know. I'm undecided about Rowan.
What a way to end that match. There's so much to talk about today.
Yeah. Okay. NXT TakeOver. Phoenix. It was a home run, in my opinion. To me, the match of the night, without a shadow of a doubt, Undisputed Era versus War Raiders. What a way to kick off the show. War Raiders, when I saw them come in and people were so hyped about War Machine, I was like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, we talk about it all the time, these big brawn tag teams that we can't see surviving the main roster. These fuckers in the ring, man, they blew my mind. I couldn't believe it. Just innovative moves, innovative athleticism. So good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like there was like a power bomb Samoan drop. What did they do for her? They had like O'Reilly and Roderick Strong up at the same time, multiple times during that match. That like power bomb off the top rope where he kind of like, I think he leg dropped him or elbow dropped him at the same time. O'Reilly almost landed on his head.
Oh, yeah, he killed him at the end. Yeah, just annihilated him.
These guys are always in. I mean, Undisputed Era always puts on a good showing in tag team matches. It seems like, you know, it's just magic in these tag team matches in NXT. I love them. So could very well be the match of the night for me, too. Gargano Ricochet was really good as well, too.
Yeah, it was really good.
You know.
Lack of Adam Cole and Velveteen Dream. People were complaining about it. I don't feel like NXT TakeOver was missing anything without those two guys. I don't think that's their fault. Like, I don't think it's a knock on them. I think it's a rub to how good the NXT product is that they can put on a great pay-per-view without guys like Velveteen Dream and Adam Cole. I mean, that's huge.
Well, that's it. It's also, you do need to give chances to other people. You know, you got to think about that, right? They had the best people coming up, you know, in their performance center, and they often have to take a back seat because of Adam Cole and Velveteen Dream. Don't get me wrong, I would love to see those guys. So
I miss the Adam Cole entrance when he's not there. I think it's
I feel like he should have been involved or come out with the tag team or something. I think he should have. You know, there wasn't much involvement by him. We're going to get that halftime heat this Sunday, which is going to be exciting.
I think that's why
they're there. Yeah, for sure. They're going to have their time to shine. But this is a little bit different. They wanted to get new blood out there. Maybe some other people getting a shot to basically steal the show. Even Baszler and Bianca Belair. It definitely was better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And I have a little bit more respect for Belair, you know, but ultimately, you know, she wasn't her time. Sam Roberts got a lot of heat, too, for saying, like, she's not ready for this. Why is she in this match?
I don't know. I never know if, like, they're not supposed to say that, and he just said it anyways. I mean, I don't know, but I thought the match was a little bit boring. I mean, Shayna Baszler is so good. Bianca was okay. I don't know. It's just the match didn't do it for me. I thought it was one of the flats of the night, but it is what it is. But
I thought it was well-rounded. I enjoyed every match.
Yeah, but getting back to the Undisputed Era match, if that's the future of tag team wrestling in WWE, I'm fucking in, man.
Like, well, that's it. That's tag team wrestling.
Like, it's crazy, man. NXT is so stacked that they have to hold some people off the card to make room for other people's
coming
in. That's
exactly my point.
That's scary, man. That's scary. Bro, you didn't really enjoy it, eh, the Matt Riddle match?
I want to see what he can do with somebody other than Cassius Ohno.
I think Cassius Ohno just kind of sucks.
I don't know.
He kind of sucks.
He seems to be the guy that, like, kind of like Ziggler used to do on the main roster. Yeah, he's a gatekeeper, and it's fine. Riddle's, you know, he's wrestled him a few times. He's beaten him every time. But I want to see him going to somebody else. Not somebody the same style. I want to see somebody completely different. See how he handles himself. I like him, but you know, I want to see more.
He's gonna break an ankle, right?
I think he's gonna break an ankle. He's gonna pull a Rusev, man. Rusev used to not have boots on. He went out of the ring one time and he twisted his ankle and he was out for months. So they'll eventually probably make him put some boots on.
Put the boots on. All right, let's talk about Raw, man. I mean, Raw and SmackDown this week. I think Raw definitely was the better show. Ronda Rousey segment seems to be one of the biggest takeaways. Everybody was talking about it. That girl was drowning, like worse than I've drowned on this podcast. Like, it was really bad, man. It was so awkward.
I don't think she expected that kind of heat, right? So, I mean, like, you're going up against Becky, so instantly you're going to become the most hated person on the roster. You know, and I think she's been rubbing people the wrong way as late, but you got to roll with the punches. I'm surprised they hadn't prepared her for something like this.
Yeah.
You know, she's gotten some fan reaction before, but now she's getting major heat. And one of the reasons why she left the Ultimate Fighting scene in the begin with was because she hated the way the fans were dogging on her.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so now you can tell it's getting under her skin. She's throwing out a few emotional tweets and threw her for a loop. She kind of, I guess, broke character and, you know, basically said, look, you got me to stutter. And then immediately she just gave up on her promo, just stopped talking. And it was very awkward. Bayley came out, saved the day, and they put on a match. But even throughout the match, you could tell it just lingered.
Just lingered.
And it wasn't the best of matches. Bayley did what she could to kind of help them stay afloat. And she picked up the win. But then Becky made her way out, and they saved it.
They saved the whole segment with that. And
Becky came out, tore into her, and then Ronda did a fairly good recovery promo. I'll give her that. I thought it was all right. She kind of threw the mic away too quickly when she was saying WrestleMania, and was like, WrestleMania.
She looked like she was about to cry, though. Like, she did. Like, I absolutely 100% despise Ronda Rousey during her run in UFC. I didn't like her as a person. And then when she came to WWE, she has an infectious smile, and I kind of looked like, I felt genuinely bad for her. And to see what she said in the ring, because I'm sure she went off script somewhat, and then to see her tweets today, I'm like sitting there going like, wait a second, you're getting a little bit of heat, a little bit of adversity, and you're going to remind everybody that you can beat them up? Like, this is exactly why people didn't like you in the UFC. You're not a graceful loser. You're not graceful at much. Like, you can sit there all day and say, like, she had an interview where she said, I was marking out that Sasha Banks, that I got to do a program with Sasha Banks. I don't buy it anymore because I'm thinking, like, you wouldn't have marked out if she got the better of you. Like, Becky's getting the better of her from the fans. and it's just killing her inside. And she had to, the only she could do is go, well, I could fucking murder you. And it was just like, it was just so odd. I think like all the momentum that she had built to be a good like role model, like I'm really going like Snowflake here, to be a good role model, I think she ruined it all in one shot, man. Like I really feel like she took herself off of a pedestal and was like, I have nothing else, so I'm going to go back to just being like, I could fuck you up. And she broke kayfabe beyond, it was so disrespectful to every woman on the roster to say that you guys are just in a fantasy. Like it's not, she was pretty much tweeting, wrestling is fake, you losers. I'm better than you because I can actually beat you up.
Do you think, that's a shoot or a work though?
I don't think WWE is good enough to pull a work off like that. I don't. I really don't.
I don't know. I mean, she's marking out for Sasha, but then you see the promo she has with Sasha where it genuinely seems like, you know, she starts busting out stuff like that. Like, you know, I could kill you. I could end you. I feel like Becky just is on a whole different level and she's having a really hard time, I guess, swimming with her.
Yeah.
Big time. She basically is trying. This is her trying to come out with a cool comeback and just not doing it because she's got no game.
But she swore in the tweet. And like even on Raw,
she has before like a month or two ago. Yeah, a month or two ago, she said shit, I think, or maybe in the F word in an Instagram post.
But on Raw, she looked genuinely like she's not a good actress, and she was holding back tears while she was talking to Becky. She was holding them back. Like I've been in that situation where your adrenaline pumps so hard, like you get in an altercation with somebody, and like you kind of just want to cry.
When was this?
You've never had that? Like back
was that
in
with
high
me
school?
Last weekend when I told you couldn't have any more beer?
No, but I mean, like you're overwhelmed with emotion, and like it was so real and raw, and that was awesome to see. But I feel like she kind of crossed the line, man. Like I don't think WWE would ever be down for her to say like you guys are fake and I'm real. Like, I don't think that they would sign off on it.
She maybe shouldn't have said that, and she might have just went ahead and said what she said. But, I mean, come on. I'm pretty sure they go backstage after, and then maybe she starts crying, and Becky's like, yo, don't worry, you're doing fine, hang in there. Like, I'm sure they're talking and they're, you know, collaborating. I'm sure they're not like, they get backstage and they don't talk to each other. I'm quite certain they're getting along. Like, Becky is a nice person. There's still these videos of her, like, doing these little
I think
cameos
Becky's a nice person.
Or events, and, like, she's still regular old Becky. I think Becky has a harder time not being that Becky because that's who she is, but she can and she's good at it and that's fine.
No,
and she'll get better at it.
I agree. I think you're 100% right when it comes to Becky. I think Ronda legitimately deep down is like, she's going to hit a breaking point, man. That shit ain't stable.
Maybe she's in too deep and in too over her head and there's too much pressure. I don't know, but I know even with Becky's birthday being today, happy birthday to the man.
Yeah.
She said like, hey, Ronnie, wish me birthday, you big weirdo. And it's
yeah.
Like, come on. She's playing with her.
But
you know?
That's
like,
Becky. Because I think she's, I bet you Becky's going to take a step back somewhat.
Nah, Becky's going to help her improve her game. Like, I agree. I think she was rattled. I think she was thrown off. I think she lost confidence. I think she was nervous. Maybe she was getting emotional. Maybe she was going to cry. I don't think what Becky's spitting is... Look, they're going into this and they're going to be like, look, I'm going to be nasty. This is going to be real. Like, we're really going to go at each other. And I bet you Becky's like, I'm down. Let's do this. But Becky just has no fuel, no fire, no experience in that shit. And then the fans also, like, the fans were just like, that was, I loved it. You know, the fans were eating her alive.
I found, like, when Ronda was in her face, I thought Becky was, she played it perfect. She won
for sure
that
she
promo without a word. She was just looking at her like, really? I got under your skin that much that you're like going to cry on live TV an inch from my face? Like,
well, I think Becky's also a really good actress. You know, she really plays the role well. So
yeah, I don't know, man. That seemed emotional. Anyways, it's got me super invested.
It's going to be great to see where this goes now.
If this is a work, I'm not worthy, man. If WWE, because I'm honestly thinking there's some real animosity between those two.
I don't think there's animosity, because I thought the same thing with her and with Sasha, to be honest with you. And then when you tell me she was marking out about it, it's like, well, then I think they're just playing their role really well and they're acting. But I do feel like maybe some stuff that she's saying might get under her skin. But you know what? I think she also knows, like, hey, you know, they're going to try to be real with me. They're going to push hard. And I'm sure they, you know, both decided amongst themselves, you know, let's do this and let's make it real. But I think just Becky's outplaying Ronda so drastically. And I think a big part of what threw her off was the fans. The fans were the biggest part of why she was rattled last week.
I mean, Becky was kicking her roller down, and it was great.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. Oh, yeah. Becky was, her promo was great. Like, you know, I had you, last time I saw you, I put you down right here, and, you know, it was good. And the look, she just stood there and stared at her. It was,
yeah. But Ronda doesn't have thick skin, I'm telling you, man. From her UFC days, it was just like, when she got rattled, when somebody got under her skin, it was like, she couldn't control herself. That's why she lost those fights. She stood up to prove a point. She didn't. She got totally taken out of her game. And she tried to box with a couple people, and she just got annihilated. But anyways, we're talking too much about these guys. But it is, wow. I'm so invested in this storyline, man. So
yeah,
invested.
It's going to be exciting me talking about this as we go into the road to WrestleMania. And WWE, do the right thing. Listen to the crowd reaction. They want Becky versus Rousey. Keep Charlotte out of that shit, man.
Another great promo. I thought Raw was off to a great start. Seth Rollins coming out, showed a little bit of his boyhood emotions, pointing at that sign, played it off really well. The game comes out.
You know you had to point at that sign. He probably was like, don't make me do it, guys. Don't make me do it. At least go out there and be like, make it like a boyhood dream. You have to do it. And he's like, okay, I'll do it. You know, I don't think they want to, but they all have to do it.
I think there was some truth to what Triple H said, and you know, saying that, I know you probably think it's lame, but it was a boyhood dream of yours, and I'm happy you did it. And I think that was a real genuine.
That was genuine when they were both tearing up and like looked like they wanted to kiss a little bit. Think that was genuine. And you know what? Rightly so. I think Seth Rollins has busted his ass off. He's the right man to send to WrestleMania. Yeah. And I think Triple H is genuinely proud of him. It's funny to see like two, three WrestleManias ago, these guys were, you know, mortal enemies, and he slayed the king at WrestleMania.
That's it.
But, you know, it is what it is. And it was really cool to see. You know, then we have Ambrose making his way out to the ring. And Dak Man has been a hot topic, definitely on the internet and all around. What's going on with Dean Ambrose? So basically,
that promo, not to cut you off, but that promo, I thought, and I was good to tweet it, but I didn't want to tweet it because of our tweet from a few weeks ago when we said we like absolutely nothing about Dean. I thought it was, I don't remember a better promo cut by him ever. There wasn't much to it, but he played, his timing was really good, and it worked with his character.
The look he gave Triple H too from inside to the ropes. He's so like, you gotta ask. I wanted to be like, do you have to ask your father-in-law or your wife? And then like, oh.
But he instantly got the crowd to turn on Triple H. And they were like,
yes, you do. Yeah, it was good. It was good. Yeah. So that's it. He ends up losing the match at the end. And you know what, Dean? He's been overselling a lot lately, too, adding to his unhappiness. I noticed when he went out the Rumble, he kind of flew out, rolled around.
It is his actual little somersault at the end, always.
Yeah, yeah. And a couple weeks back, he got the curb stomp and lied in the ring for like 15 minutes after the crowd went home, which I thought was cool.
That's fucking awesome.
I think that was awesome for a live event. I didn't think much of it. But then if you watch the curb stomp this week, too, he like does the Shawn Michaels flip back, you know, and Michaels gets like the boot to the face from Hogan or whatever it is. So I don't know. Michaels obviously did that when he wasn't happy. You got to make it wonder. Maybe they're playing into things here, but you also don't want to make it look ridiculous. And then after the match, he's sitting in the ring trying to cut a promo, and you know, Nia Jax comes out, cuts him off, and then gives him a shove.
It was weird. The timing of the cutoff was weird.
So it was.
I feel like,
but they obviously knew he was in the ring coming back from the commercial, so they kind of, you know, like, they must have known he was there, too. Like, they would have been like, dude, go to the back. Why are you here? Like, they wouldn't let him sit there in a chair until commercial comes back otherwise.
Yeah, I don't know. It was weird. It was weird.
But maybe they're trying to make it weird to make it more believable. That's the thing.
Maybe. I think we're giving WWE a lot of credit this week.
Well, I think that's it, guys. Yeah, that's it. Well, you're the one who's always like, they're going to do this and then that. It's
but you've
amazing.
Taught me to not think that way anymore. I've stopped thinking that way. And I've been more fickle like you. And that's why now I'm not fickle.
I'm realistic, man.
That's
what they're up to.
I think fickle is the wrong word.
But yeah, I mean, if you've been living under a rock, Dean Ambrose handed in, or quote-unquote handed in, believe what you want, his resignation that he will not be re-signing with the WWE come April or end of April. And yeah, he'll be walking. So let's start the speculation. A lot of people jumped on board right away because we heard he was unhappy. And we're like, oh my God, that's what the hell? You know, he's leaving. So what does that mean? Is he going to AEW? Double or Nothing is in Vegas. He lives in Vegas. It's right around the time where his contract ends. It's perfectly timed, might I add. But they also kind of planted a seed with Triple H, you know, that little bit of animosity there. So is it going to be Triple H versus Dean Ambrose? Mind you, we already saw that not too long ago at a pay-per-view as well, too, a year or two ago. So, you know, I think they could still put on a good match. I thought we were getting Triple H and Batista. Who knows what's happening there? But, you know, the fact that it's around WrestleMania, there's so many things they could do. WWE doesn't normally announce these kinds of things. Hideo Itami is getting his release. That wasn't announced.
But so, it's Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose is like one of their top five guys, I would say.
Well, you think they might be like, okay, well, we won't announce it, and we'll see if we can negotiate through April, and maybe we'll get him by then, you know? So, I don't know.
Unless
don't
it was think- a tactic to you know, throw it out there and then let Dean see the fans' reaction and think like, oh, shit. Maybe I should stick around.
Yeah, it's fresh. So we got to see what happens. You know, will he be on Raw next week? Will he be put in a big match? Will he be jobbing to Nia Jax? I mean, you know, a lot of stuff could happen.
Renee Young, what happens there?
What happens with Renee Young? I don't think she's going to lead the commentating team because right now she's at the peak of her career. You know, but then again, if she's commentating once, twice a week, and then just can go back to Vegas to be with John, then I think that's fine for them. So, you know, we're going to have to wait and see.
What's your gut say? Work or reality?
Well, look, they did it with CM Punk, right, when he was leaving. And his contract was legit up when he was leaving. And he actually won the championship. And, you know, he re-signed a contract right beforehand. So, at first, I'm like, look, man, this is a work. But until I see further proof and until I find out more, I'm undecided. But part of me thinks this could be a work.
If he is, like, if I was WWE and I knew that I was going to lose at least one of my, I don't know, top 10 dudes to AEW, I got to look at it like, if there's a sacrificial goat, man, I'm okay with it being Deaner.
A lot of people aren't going to be unhappy with that, but I'm all right with it too, but not in the sense that, like, I hate Dean Ambrose. Dude, I would love to see some matches with Dean Ambrose taking out people from AEW. I think it could be excellent.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I'm definitely excited. Man, Ambrose versus Omega eventually. We'll find out soon with Omega because his contract is wrapping up with New Japan. So super excited about that potential. But you know, at the same time, you think Seth's going to sit there and not try to convince Dean otherwise or Roman or
I think it's Renee. In Seth's best interest for Dean to leave, tell you the truth.
Yeah, possibly, but at the same time, it's like, you got to realize you can't be in the main spot all the time. I mean, if that was the case, Rollins would have walked a while ago. I mean, like, you know, he was floundering. I mean, he was always doing solid stuff, but, Roman was in the spotlight.
That's like, the only thing that makes me think that it's a work is that I couldn't imagine WWE letting a guy like that walk with everything that has to go on with the Shield, especially if Roman comes back. It's like,
well, that also lets them, like, you know, it puts the pieces in place for a really big comeback eventually down the line. If he goes, he leaves, he does his thing, and then comes back like 2, 3, 4 years later, you know, the Shield can reunite and it'll get a massive pop when Dean finally does come back.
Yeah, true there. There's some truth to that.
Yeah, but we're going to have to see what happens here, I guess. You know, fresh news for everybody. Everybody has their opinion. And, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, Dean Ambrose also had a very short IC title run. And then they gave it to Lashley. So maybe they already had the seeds planted. Look, we'll take the title off you and you'll start getting unhappy. And then we go from there. But again, it's way too early to say, guys.
Yeah.
April is a while away. The WWE doesn't normally announce these kinds of things. Maybe they're trying to be like, hey, you know, Dean Ambrose left. It wasn't us. Don't get mad at us. I don't know, man. Way too early to say. But interesting nonetheless.
If they pulled a story where, like, Dean releases and he's gone, you don't see him in an elimination chamber, and then he starts, like, drifting back. Like, he's seen in the crowd, and they go back to, like, you know how they kind of, when Dean came back from his injury and they kind of had him not talking, and they kind of had him just lingering around, if they go back to that storyline from here, maybe. Maybe it could work. Dean opens his mouth, and I feel like it's just like, nah.
When it's organic, it's not so bad. Like you said, this week, it seemed more organic.
Yeah, that's one out of like 1,000 promos I've seen of him that I liked. But I will agree, if it's organic, he's probably better. I'm sure he's probably a guy who would do better with his little more creative control. But Becky Lynch, sweet promo to start off SmackDown.
She gets on both shows.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry. Seth Rollins kicked off the other one. Sorry. Oh,
but she was a highlight of Raw, so fuck
it. Yeah, yeah.
Kicks off SmackDown. Charlotte interrupts her. Everybody's talking about how Charlotte's going to be put into this match. I'm going to say it now. I think it's WWE toying with us. I think WWE learned their lesson a few times with screwing around with this storyline. They did it at, what was it, SummerSlam when they turned Becky or attempted to turn Becky by implementing Charlotte in the match with Asuka. So I'm just looking at it like they're going to tease that they're going to go in, but there's no way she's going in and we're getting what we want. That's just my take.
Not my take. I'm not going to give the WWE that much credit. I think right now they're like, well, where are we going to put Charlotte? We're not going to have her go up against Asuka. It's pointless. I guess what they could do.
I don't agree that it's pointless, but go on.
Well, what are we going to have? Charlotte versus Asuka at WrestleMania again, just have Asuka lose again? It's going to be like rematch. It's going to be like copy paste, match. Or maybe they have Asuka lose before WrestleMania and then she fights somebody else for the title. I mean, who knows?
I really want to see the Four Horsewomen with all the titles at Mania.
Yeah, we saw that screenshot. It's all over the internet. It looks great. I think pull the trigger if you're going to do it. Let's get it over with this year. I think it could be a great moment in time to do it. But having Charlotte versus Asuka again just is kind of silly. So, you know, let's figure out a better way to do it. But if you look this week, besides the awesome straight punch that Becky gave to Charlotte.
Yeah.
Yeah, stiff punch. I'm a bit worried because you saw the way that Charlotte attacked Becky and her knee, and then the way that she walked back to her car and like, are you okay? She's like, oh, I can't afford more time off the shelf. I have this feeling that they're going to play this injury to be more than it is. Becky's going to have to forfeit her spot at WrestleMania, Charlotte being the runner-up, taking that spot, and then Becky has to reemerge maybe in like a month or two and find a way back into that match.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Well, I'm just kind of thinking about the way they played her leaving to the car, like in not saying a word, and then her just saying, like, I can't afford to be on the shelf any much longer. I have a feeling there's going to be some kind of tie-in with that, and they're planting some seeds there. They could always go back on it. I really hope they do what they did with when Batista won the Royal Rumble, and the crowd just revolted until they put Daniel Bryan in the main event of WrestleMania and win the title. I hope that they listen because, man, all you got to do is watch that segment between Becky and Ronda. That's what the fans want. And if you give them something different, they're going to be angry. And they're going to let themselves be heard. And it's up to the WWE to either deal with it or, I guess, accommodate what they want. I really hope they stick to Becky versus Ronda and don't make this a triple threat. I think it would be a bad mistake.
If they did have to implement Charlotte into this somehow, do you think there's a possibility that they do what they did with Daniel and they have Becky fight Charlotte at WrestleMania, and whoever wins that fights Ronda Rousey in the main event?
Ah, that could be awesome. I'd be down for that.
I'd
be okay with that.
Yeah, me too.
And hey, man, I think even if it was a triple threat at Mania, I think it would still be a great match.
Oh, the match itself would be great, yeah, but the story wouldn't be as good.
Yeah, you need to have Becky versus Ronda. I just think that's it. So, yeah, triple threat beforehand. A match beforehand to see who goes to fight Ronda. Maybe they do that at Fastlane, or maybe they do it at WrestleMania earlier on. I think it'd be great.
I just got to think that with everything that's going on around in the world right now, where female athletes are really taking over, to close out WrestleMania 35 with the Four Horsewomen would really, really put that stamp of the woman's evolution or revolution, whatever you want to call it. It would really be the dot at the end of the sentence, because I don't look at it like WWE. I don't look at it from like 2018 to 2019. It's WrestleMania to WrestleMania. That's a year in WWE. And to cap this one off with the four of them as champions, I think would really say a lot. And then all the new storylines could go forward from there. That's my hope.
Well, keep on hoping. But it would definitely be... I'm with you there, man. I'm just more realistic. But I think that could be a really good way to set it up. I think you mentioned it. I mean, I feel like they're going to try to put Charlotte in this one way or the other. I just really hope that's not the end result where we end up seeing a triple threat. I just think it's not the right move. And you have to think the WWE officials or somebody within the company is going to see this image that was posted online and be like, light bulb, you know? So
I hope Triple H can convince Vince to just keep it the two of them. It's got to be the two of them. And the only other option is to do the Daniel Bryan story and have him face both of them, just not in the same match. It's too good. They haven't caught lightning like this in a while, so It needs to be done.
Speaking of Daniel Bryan, we want to talk about the new WWE title?
Absolutely. It's fucking hemp, bro. 420.
Yeah. So I guess a lot of mixed reviews online, but a lot of people offhand are like, garbage. I don't know. I didn't like it at first. First of all, I thought it was just cardboard. I was like,
yeah,
oh,
when
my
he was
God.
Pulling it out, I thought so too.
And I kind of thought like that would be funny. It was just cardboard, you know? But then you take a little closer look at it, and I was like, my God, people were making like a whole comment. It looks like you could buy that on Etsy, man.
it totally does. Yeah. Oh my God, people are going to be making those on Etsy like crazy.
Well, think about it. Now they're going to be able to sell new title belts and make merch off this too. Yeah. So I'll tell you that, man. The fact that they unveiled that title goes to tell you he's not dropping that title to WrestleMania. They're not going to make that title just for like a month. So it's he's going to survive. He'll survive the chamber, and he's going to go to WrestleMania with it. That chamber match also is like,
yeah, that's a whole other shit.
Boring, man.
Yeah, chamber matches. I'm telling you, it's the timing. If this was happening,
no, it's the competitors too. Although I like them all, it's just like, I don't know, man.
Mustafa Ali in there is going to be cool, though.
I think they're all going to be interesting, but it's just like, I know Daniel Bryan's going to win. I don't know.
Think about, though, at WrestleMania, if Daniel Bryan does lose the title at WrestleMania, some poor schmuck is going to win the title at WrestleMania 35 and hold up a burlap sack.
Potato sack. Yeah, no, for sure, man. It's going to be hilarious. And, man, I think...
John Cena. Oh.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I think you're right about this whole, like, I guess, thought of John Cena winning the title, his 17th title at WrestleMania.
Sack.
He's off filming a movie. Right now, Daniel Bryan is off doing his thing. And, Daniel Bryan's off doing his thing and having a reign with the championship. I don't think he's going to lose a title elimination chamber. It gives Cena time to film his movie and come back just in time for WrestleMania and them challenge each other. I think it's the right way to go, and I can't believe I'm saying that. I mean, unless something else makes sense and falls into place, I can get behind. I don't even like John Cena.
I want to see him do it, though. I think it could.
And then maybe he'll have like the other title like handy or something, and
the
he'll
spinner?
Just like, throw it.
The spinner?
Oh, my God.
Does hemp burn? It must burn, right?
Well, I was going to say that too. Like, what are they going to do? Are they going to, like, maybe he'll light it on fire?
Someone's going to burn it. I don't know. There's so many possibilities, but
it's made from a naturally fallen oak tree.
Yeah. He could have named the cow something a little bit more original than Daisy.
I don't think he thought it was going to get over like it did. I thought that was amazing.
It really did.
It was funny because he was, like, bashing the crowd for not respecting Daisy, but they were like... They were loving Daisy.
Yeah,
so that's it. It's just funny when they try to like, it's kind of when Becky was like saying, you guys weren't there for me, but we were like, you deserve it. Like, of course they were there for you. It's like, dude, so. And also he has like stuff in his shirt like, no sexism, no this, no this.
He's
like,
booed.
Yeah, he's like a bad guy. It's like, this guy is a good guy, if anything. So.
I don't know what's going on with Daniel Bryan and this whole thing.
And Rowan.
Yeah, whatever.
With the recycling logo in his name now.
So weird. I wonder how many people Googled, is Eric Rowan really a vegan? I mean, I did. I wanted to look into it. I was like, oh, is there a backstory to him that I don't know about? But 6'8", I mean, you got to think that guy drank milk.
Yeah, but you think he's got to eat meat, and the guy's a hefty dude.
Probably eats humans, man. I when he came out at Rumble, I was so confused and not into it. And then I saw him on Raw walk in with Daniel, and I was like, well, maybe this could work. I just hope there's a tie-in to Bray Wyatt. I really do.
I think that's it. We were talking about that too, right? And I think like people were like, why not Lars Sullivan? But he had his anxiety issues, and no one's heard anything from him since. But yeah, Eric Rowan, what's that going to lead to?
It's like, okay, Eric Rowan, sure.
Well, they were together as the Wyatt family, but they didn't even touch or play on that at all. No. And then I know Bray Wyatt was putting out some cryptic tweets, like as if he would reunite. So, like, who knows where this is leading to down the line? But Eric Rowan, eh?
I don't know, man. There was a lot of confusing stuff on SmackDown. I mean, that U.S. title botch.
What happened? What? I think a lot of us were confused. I feel like they ran out of time in general, because even the ending with Elimination Chamber, like, Joe, first of all, he killed it. He dropped the biggest bomb there is, man. The guy's great. He's so good on the mic. Yeah, he's such a villain.
How is Wendy?
Even Randy Orton was laughing, too, when he would talk about, you know, like, why don't you do like you do your A&A meetings and sit down and let the group talk. It's like, holy shit.
He dropped a few other ones that I can't remember right now, but they were really, really, really good. Really good.
Oh, yeah. He threw – he also – no, it wasn't – because of Joe, but Mustafa Ali got thrown off too by Randy Orton.
He did.
Yeah, he was like, well, after I pinned, I mean eliminate, and then he got cut off, and it's like, ah. But I'm surprised nobody mentioned him getting eliminated by Nia Jax. But I guess they didn't want to look sexist, right? Like, no, oh, but did. You got eliminated by a woman.
They did.
But they didn't say you got eliminated by a woman or anything.
No, they did. Yeah, they said you got eliminated by a girl. Randy Orton said
really? Okay, yeah. I might have missed that.
And he kind of seemed like he kind of like tried to catch that word coming out of his mouth. He was like, oh, God, I'm going to get heat for this.
Yeah, yeah. Because Randy Orton, he doesn't give a fuck. Randy Orton will go poop in her bag, you know?
Dick Hanser. But he called her a girl, not a woman, so I'm sure that a bunch of people got pissed.
Yeah. Probably. Everyone's so sensitive. It's going to be really hard to do this intergender if they do anything. But again, going back to what we were saying, looks like they were rushed. Daniel Bryan jumps in the announce table when they're brawling and says, no one can beat me, no one can beat me. Triple H comes on the screen. He's like, you're going to have to face all of them. End of show. And like, you look at the, I was looking at the time and it was like 2 minutes left before they started brawling. And I'm like, what is this going to happen here? So, but yeah, with that US title match, I don't know if they're running out of time or anything, but it looks like that wasn't when it was supposed to be called. Mike Chioda's just like, no, it was three. When actually people were like, Nakamura's shoulders were down. Kind of looked like he was getting them up. Like I've seen pins kick out of.
That's it.
I don't care what you say. I took that as a two count. And even R-Truth was like, what? Okay. And Nakamura was like, he looked like it was like, is this a screw job? Are you kidding me? Like, what is this garbage? It looked like a screw job to me. But maybe it was because they were like, look, we have a lot to do in this segment. We have to pass on the US title twice, you know, or we have to get them on a tag team together. We have to figure something out. So they might have just, accelerated things a little bit. And Kyoto was just like, count the pin off after that move and we'll just go on from there. So I think there was that confusion. But I think from what you saw, the tag team formed, they had common ground. And it looks like it was meant to happen at least.
Yeah.
But just not in the most graceful of ways. Now they're friends.
Rusev going back heel. I mean, we saw Elias go back heel as well. Oh, my God.
What's going on this week?
But, Elias, I don't even want to talk about it. That whole thing with Jeff Jarrett was just kind of, it was okay at the Rumble, but then on Raw, it was just shit.
It was fun.
It was fun for 5 seconds. Did anybody know the words to that song? Renee looks so
Road Dogg usually forgets it too, so.
Like, my wife is like, she didn't know the words to that song. Do you know the words to that song? I'm like, nobody knows the words to that song except for like the first line.
There's a few parts like you can be like, na 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 na.
Yeah, alone with my baby tonight. That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
But really, Rusev turning heel again, Lana with the suits. Just give us fucking Rusev Day. Give us it in English.
Well, maybe that'll help, you know, with him being heel now. Maybe they'll work towards giving us Rusev Day back because Aiden was a heel. I don't know. I'm wishful thinking here, but yeah, we finally got him as a face. US champion drops the title. Now he's a heel. Like, what are they doing with Rusev? It just doesn't make sense to me. So him and Nakamura, after everything they went through with Lana and their friends, are they going to get tagged together 1 week? I know I heard big, strong rumors of them trying to re-merge the tag team division on SmackDown. So maybe they're throwing some tag teams together.
Yeah.
They're going to be facing the Good Brothers next week on SmackDown, it seems. So we'll see where this takes us. But U.S. title. So they attack R-Truth. Now they're going to fight the Good Brothers. But what about R-Truth? Where does that leave him? Like, is he defending against one of them? Is there going to be a triple threat? I guess there'll be a triple threat maybe the next pay-per-view. Or
it leaves him in limbo because he's the U.S. champ. And U.S. champs is where you go to die.
I guess, yeah. You just stay backstage and they close the door and they leave you in there.
They're like, enjoy the house show on the B, house show. That's where he'll be. But if they are doing anything with the tag team division on SmackDown, I don't think they're doing it well. Miz and Shane, okay. It was cool to see Miz's dad. I thought the moment at Rumble was cool. I think it's a little rub to Miz for the... He carried the WWE for the last little while. So I feel like... That was nice to see. It was a feel-good moment, I think you'd mentioned. And I don't know. The Usos are going to annihilate them. They have to annihilate them.
I'm very interested to see how they face off against the Usos because that's a real challenge. These guys are great competitors. How are they going to defend their tag team titles? It's going to have to be like a roll-up from the rope or a roll-up or something like that. Not from the rope because they're good guys, right? I don't know. I really thought when he was like, I'm going to give you a moment that you're never going to forget. I thought Shane was going to like beat him up or something like that or find some way to like... We won them, and now I'm going to, like, embarrass you in front of your father or something like that. I don't know. Feel-good moment.
The turn is coming, though.
Yeah. The match at Royal Rumble itself was okay. Feel-good moment. I found Miz was the least entertaining that whole match. He was kind of boring. But, you know, I get where they're going with this and the tag team titles. I hope they go over onto the Usos Elimination Chamber, but it's probably too early for that.
And with that wraps up another episode of Talkamania, guys. Thanks for sticking with us. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @_Talkamania. Check us out on Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, Full Press Radio, FullPressCoverage.com.
Yeah, baby.
ProWrestlingTees.com/Talkamania. Get some merch. Go out. Listen to Boot to the Face podcast. Those guys are awesome. And Great crew. Don't forget to check us out before Elimination Chamber, live February 17th at 5:30 p.m. Eastern on Full Press Radio. We will be there. On behalf of Talkamania, J-Bomb's out. Say bye, Dez.
Hope you enjoyed the Royal Rumble, guys. Talkamania had a great time. We're always here with you listening. Latest content, check that shit out. We are on the road to WrestleMania. Until then, guys, happy Rusev Day!